Chaitanya makes a very important matter that he says, and that is, we have had similar problems in the past. And what we want to determine is, the honorable, Miss Africa before us today, yes it is a public servant in place. But it comes from a very clear political background. And the only thing that we want to do that is, the mandate will be derived from Parliament. And we want to know if you will see it like that, because it's Parliament that votes this report. And I think it's relevant. Some of the people here are complete professionals in their respective fields. They don't come with a political path, and I think it's important for us to determine that. So that is why I posed the question, and needless to say, I find it totally unacceptable that he was not around an opportunity to respond to that. Whatever comments was made, yes, I agree.
But probably the House did it, because the candidate did respond to political interference. But now one asks things which happened, it was not out of it. Now it's to speculate. That's my problem. You want him to speculate what might have happened in the day in question. That's all right, I said, no probably. But probably we have to continue. Honorable Singh.
Yes, I don't want to get into a long debate, but we often have, when we ask what could be regarded as politically contentious questions of people who we know are politically aligned in the past, that we get held out from members of the committee. It's not in their place to advise people before this committee as to what they can and cannot answer. And we are invited to ask our questions and have them
answered. But it is my responsibility to protect any candidate. You cannot ask a person to speculate and say, certain people were called by a certain party in a certain court. Why do you want that person to respond on? So if you want to ask people questions, ask questions but not direct speculative or things which people are speculating about. That's my problem. But the candidate was asked about political interference. How does, and he responded on that. But when you say one day a group of people were called on Sunday, in a certain da-da-da and so on, I think we all tell that is out of way. Honorable sir.
Okay, I think maybe we can pass this matter for us, because a lot of other candidates in here, we can deal with that matter if we still have, but I'll ask you to remember that we can deal with it after we are done with the candidate that is before us, we can deal with that matter. That's what we're exposed here to this environment.
Oh, obviously, Honorable Sir will do that. Just that members will continue the matter. But if you read the rules of Parliament, it is my duty and our duty to protect, especially people which we appointed the committee of Parliament. Read the rules of Parliament. So we have the duty to protect them. We can't abuse them ourselves. So that's the point I'm trying to drive at. But you are at liberty to ask any question. We are not going to restrict you in terms of questions which are, but ask questions which are related.
Honorable Chief, do you want to speak before the person?
Yeah, Chair, my interjection was in respect to what has just happened here. But it has happened to me frequently. When I have asked questions of either a departmental official or someone who is known to have political connections, I have been shouted at by members of this committee. And in fact, once one of the members of the committee instructed the public servant not to answer my questions. And what I'm saying is that I need as much protection in my questions answered as anyone else. And I would like to see, when this does happen, to give members of the opposition protection to be able to ask their questions and have them answered.
Thank you very much, Honorable Singh. Please raise that when it happens so that we will deal with it in that order. Members, we want to continue.
I will stand down now, but I just want to come back because you have not interpreted my question correctly, but I'm not going to go there now. I think we proceed with the next session.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kofi. We'll deal with it on our own meetings and other things. But if that happens, matter which you can raise on other good things, then it is. But in this instance, I'm just talking about this instance, not other issues with the present people. Welcome, Madam. You see, I didn't mind that much to continue because we are familiar with the parliament environment. If it was someone who never came to parliament, I should have stopped immediately. But this is just familiar with the exchange from members, although we are not here for, something else. You're most welcome for this interview. Our apology also for the delay in terms of time. Part of the problem was being approved to see that there are other provisions of parliament which we also have to attend some other time, and we had the delay at the beginning. My our apologies are but we are here now, and I hope you are ready to check our questions and so on. Now, members of themselves, they have two questions. Don't worry about the introduction. But when you answer my first question, you must also tell us about briefly about yourself and your relevance to the MDCC board in terms of your skills and capabilities and so on. Why do you think you must be part of the trust out of the 86 which we finally have after the withdrawal of one who has been shortlisted and so on. As indicated, members will then introduce themselves as they speak, but as you respond to my first question, also introduce yourself and your probably what skills you have which you think will make a contribution to the executive over time.
Thank you. So my name is Kate Skinner, and I, as you say, chairperson, I've spent a lot of time in Parliament over the last few years. My background is in broadcasting, in the media field, and particularly in the civil society field of things. I was the SOS coordinator, SOS Support Public Broadcasting Coordinator, and I helped establish the SOS Support Public Broadcasting Coalition. I have a lot of experience in terms of broadcasting and journalism, because I've worked in the actual industry itself, in Casino Education Television. I've worked in the policy environment, I've worked in the research environment, and I'm currently doing a PhD, actually looking at the SBC in the digital broadcasting environment. So what do I bring to the board? I think a couple of things. I think the thing that's very important is a passion for public broadcasting, wanting our public broadcaster to be strong, to be independent, to be accountable to the public and the viewers and listeners. And I think I have demonstrated commitment. I think also what I will bring to the board is a very good understanding of the legislative, policy, legal environment that the public broadcaster has to operate in. I think a third of the things that I bring to SCBC is basically, looking at the international environment in terms of what is happening with digital broadcasting and public service broadcasting in the digital age. A lot of my research is linked to that. I think the final thing I'd like to say is that it's absolutely critical that the SEC is accountable to all stakeholders, viewers and listeners. And I think I come with a very strong perspective and knowledge of that, given my work in the SOS Coalition. The SOS Coalition was dedicated to the broadcaster becoming much more publicly accountable.
Thank you very much. Member, your question? Ms. Rohan? Killian, Mkambi? Murudwa, Shin, Day, Sebe, in that order.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you. It's Ms. Obisos, if I may ask, Chair, through you. Ms.
I always call him Madame, so yeah.
Oh, Madame. No, I think it's safe that way. Thank you, Madam Skinner for showing interest and accepting the nomination and the pay, and also availing herself for this interview. Chairperson, one would like to ask a question. Actually, questions. Starting with all the background you have said, and I've been listening with much interest in terms of the areas of interest and the NGO that you seek to represent. With all what you say, do you have an appreciation as a learned person in terms of that you'll be working within the collective, that and how do you then, with all good corporate governance morals that you have and you like to be seen it in practice in terms of the SAPC board, influence other core members of the board, your colleagues, if you're fortunate enough to be also finally be part of that process we're looking for? And how are you going to do that? I want to hear the actual application of working with the collective interpersonal and making that that responsibility as a collective, as the actors in terms of Section 15 of the mandate of the board. Chairperson, having said that, in your, Madam Skinner, in your understanding, what is the role of the board versus the executive director? And most importantly for me, what is the function and responsibility of the group chief executive officer as the editor in chief versus the function of the head of radio, television, sports, education, and the youth? Do you think should the GCO and editor in chief roles be separated? If so, why? If not, why? Secondly, Chairperson, which is my last question for my side for now, will be, Madam Skinner, Section 605 of the Broadcasting Act requires the board of the SAPC to develop a range of policies through a process of public consultation, which among other things include a youth policy, programming policy, a local content policy, education policy, and the like. The Act is not, however, clear on what the regulator's role should be in regard to this policy or to the policies. Apart from merely stipulating that the SAPC board launch such policies with the ICASA, without spelling out whether the regulator has to monitor the compliance and the implementation thereof, or incorporate them into the license conditions, is the how part of those policies. In your own view, Madam Skinner, should be the relationship between the SABC board, SABC as the institution, and the regulator, what should be the relationship they own in terms of pursuing and what we talk in terms of all the policies that are articulated? Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity once more.
Thank you very much. Probably we're lucky to go to the first one members who can only ask two questions. Until all other members have their questions, if they're not covered, then you can come in the follow-up. And please keep it short, Honorable Killen.
So thank you, Ms. Killen, Julie Gideon. Sometimes people can introduce themselves as chairperson. Just the issue of the SABC and the what happened at the SABC. So 2002, when the SABC turned out a 7 million profit, and in 2009, when the SAC announced an after-tax loss of 790 million, what happened to that one? Secondly, what do we need to do apart from stopping all sorts of serious governance transgressions and stopping payments that were not duly processed and all of that and soft structure, you know, which is so expensive. What do we need to do to turn it around into a stable organization from your perspective? Thank you.
Thank you. I assume you can sit down and ask a few questions. I will not do one. Thank you.
You know this question that I'm going to ask and the question that Honorable Killian is just they would seem like we were sitting together. And it's happening for the second time now, I think, today. Because I really obsessively, sorry, Ms. Skinner, I just assumed that I have to speak when the chairperson, and it's a mistake that I've done. My name is Tori Mundwa. And I can see here you are nominated by my old friend, Sue Voss. Yes. And I was just saying the issues, you know, the key issue of SSDC historically, I think some of them is what Honorable Key spoke about, but I think I'll dwell on something that because I would like to ask in the kind of feminist context. I have my own surname. I am married, but I have my own surname. So the way I refer to myself is NS dot as Ms. Skinner. But I like your Madame Skinner, and that's also very cool. I'm very happy to reply to that too.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to use the correct approach. One that I would like to ask from you, because I know you have been in this field for a long time, and some of us have learned from you, and what needs to be fixed really, and how, and I'm going to be saying, if you feel you can explain to us how and who must be in terms of the funding model, is this supposed to be done by government, what do you think? The role that is supposed to be played by SABC during the digital migration, what do you think? Do we have any progress? And also about adversarial approach and the money. Yes, and it's present, the SABC is present regionally and the local. What is it making any change or improvement to the public? I would say, of course, the content, you know. Because for quite some time we were complaining about the content, if you remember that well. So I just wanted you to really tell me if, how you feel. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mokla. Honorable Shin.
Thank you. Ms. Kinner, what specific skills do you think that you will actually bring to resolve one or two specific problems that are perhaps your burning issues with the SABC board? And what specific skills, what specific issues would be your priority should you get the job? And then secondly, if you do get the job, what are you going to do the rest of your life? Because surely it would then be a conflict of interest if you become a member of the SABC board with all your roles as a lecturer, as a broadcasting policy analyst. So what are you going to do?
Thank you, Honorable Shane. Dami.
Thank you, Ken. My name is Fred Botan. I'm a member of this committee. I see you are also a member of the lobby group. SOS. And then, if I afforded the opportunity, because you normally please save our SABC. How are you going to save the SABC if you put it normally in your campaign? Because I see a lot of it save our SABC. If you happen to be a completely nominated, how are you going to go about that one? Secondly, the Company Act, Red Whiskey 3, in particular, the case relationship of the Company Act, it talks about the standards of director's conduct. Can you share with us, if you are appointed as a board member, what kind of conduct can we expect from you? I think when you do it, you can also do it to prepare for the potential conflict of interest that was raised by the Honorable Sin. You deal also with the issue of insider trading, also deal with the issue of liability of directors and apportionment of damage.
Thank you, Honorable Mutandi. Spence. Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Butch Spence. My one question regarding a possible conflict of interest has been asked already, so we're speaking with one more. I'd like to know from you the 24-hour news channel that has been launched. And I'm going to call it slightly different to what I did earlier with another candidate. If you had been a member of the board during this process, and I don't want to know whether the actual channel is good or bad. I'm referring more to the fact that it was launched on the DSTV platform. So I'd like your views on whether that is correct, and why, and if you believe it wasn't correct, again, it would motivate your answer, please. Thank you.
Are you done?
Yes,
sir. That was for like me, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Madam, my name is Susan Ferre. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee. My first question, Honorable Chair, is that when you are telling us of yourself who you are, you said the SABC must be accountable to all. What does it mean? And that's maybe, so, no, I wanted that when you leave this place, I'm going to understand you correctly, so that I don't use my own interpretation. What do you mean when you say it must be accountable to all? Does it mean currently it's not accountable to all? Because my understanding is that the SABC is a public broadcaster. So obviously, part of its mandate, so there's no way, but I just wanted to share that from you. Secondly, Chair, as per your meaning, I only have two questions. The other thing is around the separation of powers. What is your understanding around the separation of powers? In particular, the relationship between the minister and the shareholder and the board. How should it be? In that, you can see you clashes with the issue of political interference. Do you see sometimes the intervention by the minister as political interference? But I just want my own view. How should the minister relate with the SABC, in particular the board? But the issue of political interference has been there, but I just want to check if you are aware of that, or if you are from the start.
Thank you very much. That was the last question I had. I did this to you because I knew that you were the candidate that you can do. Yes. And
I have only questions. I've got a lot of questions.
I've done it because I know you. I know that you can be able to do that. Ordinarily, I was inviting them with two or three questions at a time and so on. So I'm taking advantage of your capability. Since you've been in committees more times, so your judging skills, I'm sure of it, that you could manage it. Over to you to respond to all the questions. Let me help you respond to the questions. If members are acting armed as they are responding, don't warn them. Proceed responding to all your questions. When you are done, if they could follow up, they will do so. Thank you. You may respond.
Okay, great. So I'm going to go in the order that different questions were posed, and some questions obviously are kind of similar, so if I do need to do some grouping, I might do some grouping, but basically I'm going to go in the order that people asked the questions. I think the first one was a very important question, which is around the collective, the working of the collective of the board. And I think it's actually an important issue to raise, because I think that the board previously didn't work as collective, and I think there was a lot of infighting, and I think it's a very important quality to have in board members that they can work as a collective. I think that I do have that as a set of skills, because managing a coalition such as the SOS coalition requires quite significant skills in terms of bringing very diverse groups together. I mean, the different unions, NGOs, the independent producers, there was a very diverse grouping of people. All of them committed to public broadcasting, but with incredibly different views as to how that public broadcaster should operate, and often very different views on the kind of funding. So I do think that I could bring that, because I think that if a majority decision is taken, you would need to go with that decision unless you thought that this was fundamentally unprincipled, and then you would note your exception to that. But ultimately, you do need to be finding a way forward. And that, I think, is the big issue, is not to get bogged down on the detail. I think the next thing which is very important is that you're asking me the difference between the kind of roles of the board versus the executive directors. So let me answer that. I mean, I think that it's interesting, because if you look at the board, it's made up of the 12 non-executive members of the board, plus the 3, which are the execs. So they collectively make up the board. What I think is critical is, in terms of their roles, is that the non-execs set the strategic direction of the board. What they do, and this is a fundamental issue which I'll come back to later in terms of the role of the minister, the 3 execs, CEO, CFO, and CEO, must be appointed by the board and by the board alone. And the reason is a good corporate governance one. It means that both people that appoint those 3 execs hold those 3 execs accountable. And there's no sense of having to report to anyone else. And so I think that is a really critical issue. Collectively, they would then set the strategic direction of the SABC, and the non-execs would hold the execs accountable in terms of ensuring that work gets done. I think that's very, very important. And ultimately what you want is your non-execs not to be involved in the day-to-day running of the board. No, they shouldn't be. The execs are the ones that are supposed to be doing the work. And you do want that separation so that the non-execs can hold the execs to account. I think the question then around the editor-in-chief is very important. And I think, you know, in terms of the way that it's previously legislated, the CEO is the editor-in-chief. I think personally that ultimately you don't want the CEO to be the editor-in-chief. I think that ultimately you want the head of news as the editor-in-chief. And the reason for that is that the editor, is that the CEO has a big critical role in terms of ensuring the overall sustainability of the SABC, has a lot of business interests in terms of ensuring, in terms of ensuring the sustainability of the SABC and issues that go beyond just looking at the editorial issues. So I think that ultimately what you would want is for the news to be the editor-in-chief, and therefore I think those roles should be in fact separated. I think the issue around the role of the CASA and the role of these different policies is interesting. And kind of I think what you're also helping me think through is unpacking the role of a CASA versus the SABC. How do the two interrelate? And again, in terms of corporate governance, it's so important to be clear about where what those specific roles are. And so what I would like to say is that I think that the CASA plays a very important role in terms of holding the SBC to account in terms of its license conditions, in terms of certain policies and regulations, and also in terms of the importance of the charter. And so what you're wanting to see is CASA playing a much more rigorous role in terms of the license conditions, in terms of the local content regulation, and in terms of the charter. And I want to say that one of the problems is that if you look at the SBC's charter, if you look at the Broadcasting Act, it's actually entirely clear where the charter starts and where the charter ends. And I think that often makes it actually means that it has a difficult role in terms of holding the SBC to account in terms of the charter. That is one of the things the ICT policy review process I think needs to look at, and when we have new legislation or amendments to legislation we have, we need to look at that issue of the charter. Now, the next issue that I've got to down here is the very important question of, like, what happened in terms of the SBC? We had an SBC that was functioning effectively, at least in a financial sense, in 2002. By 2009, we had a broadcast that lost almost R1 billion in a single financial year, the 2008-2009 financial year. What went wrong? And it's a question that I think we have got to grapple with and we have got to understand as board members, otherwise we can't move forward. And I think there are a number of reasons why the SBC got into that crisis. One reason, I think, is that if you look at the financials of the SBC over a period of time, it wasn't actually a surprise, let's be clear. What you started to find is that the amount of money that the SBC was spending and the amount of money that was coming in through the various advertising, which is obviously a key source of funding, were going down and the expenditure was going up. And if you look at how the expenditure was going up, it was through a number of different things. One was the employment of consultants, the employment of extra staff. Another major project was around the SBC International. And a further thing was around program acquisition, but not actually showing that programming. So I think there were a number of issues, but it's interesting because there were things that people felt that it came out of the blue. But if you look at the annual reports over time, there was definitely an indication that that was about to happen. One of the things that I have to say, and I have to say to you as parliamentarians, that you as parliamentarians were necessarily holding the SBC to account because it was fairly obvious that there were problems brewing and that you needed to ensure that the SBC's finances were looked into. So I think that is, so if you look at the oversight structures in terms of Parliament and also in CASA itself, they were necessarily playing as strong a role as needed to be. So I think those would be some of the reasons why the SBC got into the kind of crisis. I mean, also just one further thing on the SBC International. It's interesting, if you look at the business plans and things put out there, they didn't look at how SBC International was going to actually generate funds. And so it didn't have a particular business case for it. And I'm not saying that a business case in the sense of it had to make a profit, but it needed to be sustainable. It needed to have some kind of revenue in order to be able to survive a long time. Okay, so the very next question I think is an interesting one to look at is, what do we need to stabilize the SBC? And I think there are a number of issues here. I think you've got to clarify the roles of the various players. That's the one thing. And I think there's also obviously some important issues in terms of the funding model of the SBC. So some of the things that I think that we need to look at going forward is in terms of clarifying the role, we need to clarify the role of the minister. We need to clarify the role of Parliament. We need to clarify the role of the CASA. We need to clarify the role of the exec versus the non-exec. It must be crystal clear what the roles of all of those bodies are. And I don't know whether you want to indulge me, but I can talk to you what I think those roles might be. And I'm seeing some nods. So I'm going to proceed in terms of what I think those roles should be. So I think, I mean, I'm not going to go into too huge detail, but in a nutshell, I think the role of the minister, so I'm kind of jumping ahead so that was a question asked. I think the role of the minister in the ministry is to set the policy in place. Absolutely critical. It's not that the minister does not have a role. The minister has a very important role to play set an overall framework in which the SBC operates and to determine the overall funding model. And I think the minister, in terms of the ICT policy review process, is playing a very important role right now, and it's very, very much overdue. But that is the role of the minister, but not to appoint the free tech, not to get involved in a day-to-day running of the SBC. I think what is absolutely critical is that the board needs to play that role. And if you look at the Broadcasting Act, there's a very key phrase in the Broadcasting Act that says that the SBC board must control the affairs of the corporation, which means, in a nutshell for me, that it plays the key strategic role of setting the direction of the SBC. And then, as I've explained before, I think the executive implement that. Now, of course, the executive will have a say in terms of their overall strategic vision. Of course they will, because they're on the ground, they know what's happening. But ultimately, they need to help accountants in terms of their strategic vision. And Congress's role is on content, the charter and on license conditions. And Parliament, you as parliamentarians, have an absolutely critical role to hold the SBC to account, also in terms of its charter, but very importantly in terms of its finances. If there's a crisis with the SBC, the crisis must be dealt with very timely by Parliament. There's also the case of, like, the minister should be dealing with crisis. Who should deal with the crisis if the crisis comes to court? Should it be Parliament? Should it be the minister? My very clear sense is that it's a public broadcaster, it's not a state broadcaster, it's not a commercial broadcaster. You, as parliamentarian MP, should call the SEC to account. So I think those rules are clarified, and now the impact of the funding model. I think there's been some very interesting work done on funding model issues, and there are lots of different views on funding models. I know within the SOA coalition, there's a lot of views. My personal view is that you need a mixed funding model. I don't think that it's possible for the SEC to survive without advertising. I don't. I think that it needs to be a combination of advertising, more public funding, and I would fight very strongly for more public funding, and the license fee. And I think that mixed funding allows for greater independence and accountability of the SBC. So I think let me move on then. We're talking about the very important issue of the SBC role in the digital migration process. And I think here there's useful sort of insights one can gather from looking at some of the international experience. And if you look, for instance, at Channel 4, which is a public broadcast that commercially funded, and if you look at the BBC, those broadcasters have played an absolutely critical role in terms of the digital migration process there. They have been absolute frontrunners. And I think that this is what I would want the SBC to play a role. So I think in terms of looking at all the kind of new video on demand services, looking at 360-degree programming, using social media kind of tools, I think all of those things the SBC should ensure in a digital age. I think also sometimes when public broadcasters lose their way in the digital age, is that when people worry about funding become more and more commercial. I think the role of the public broadcaster in a digital age is to play a fundamental citizen public role, and it needs to ensure distinctive programming, which is public programming, and fulfilling a lot of those gaps where the commercial broadcasters don't, for instance, language programming, a lot of the local content, and put forward a range of different views which are often not put forward by the commercial broadcasters. But I'm also not saying that it should be marginalized to just looking at those issues not covered. It also has, and I would say, making the popular good and the good popular, it also has that fundamental central role of bringing together the people as citizens. So in a nutshell then, what is the role of SBC in the digital migration process? It's to be a frontrunner. It's to experiment with the new technologies. It's to ensure that the social, all the different platforms are used, and social networking tools are used, and to play a very distinctive public broadcasting role, just as public programming. Okay, then there's another issue about how does the SBC make an improvement, and how does it assist, in terms of its public role, and is it playing a role in terms of the public? I think, of course it does. I mean, I think it has, you know, if you look at radio stations, it has a lot of, it plays an absolutely central role in terms of language issues. I think, you know, it does produce, you know, certain public programming. It's got excellent programming in terms of intersections, you know, and so they need to do more of that citizen thing. I think it's interesting if you, if apparently in terms of the new programming RFP calls for proposals, there's going to be a lot more documentaries that are going to be produced. Those kind of things I think are wonderful. Okay, the next question that I've got down on my list is specific issues that you bring. What do you bring, you know, if I am appointed as a board member? Okay, so I think I've got two sets of specific skills. I think the one set of specific skills is around understanding the broadcasting environment in South Africa, understanding the SABC as it operates in that environment, and I think that I also have an understanding of public broadcasting in the digital age, in terms of some of the international good practice. So I would want to bring that knowledge to the board. I think I also, very importantly, bring an understanding of citizens need to feel that they actually own the SABC. And so I could bring some very practical views as to what to do about that. In terms of viewership committees, in terms of ensuring that programming is more accountable, and that you and listeners are happy about the programming that they get. So some direct, specific, concrete cases of like what we could do in terms of setting up new structures. I think, you know, in terms of like, you know, the editorial policy review and maybe the reworking of the charter, I could come up with some very specific ideas around how that could be done to bring citizens very, very closely involved. The next question was a very interesting question, which is about conflict of interest issues. It's saying, if you were on a board, you know, and you are a lecturer and working in the area of broadcasting, I mean, would there be a conflict of interest? Because your work is, you know, directly linked to the SBC. And does that mean that there would be certain problems there? I mean, my sense is that there isn't a conflict of interest in this and that. I mean, obviously, it would be very important not to talk about the internal workings of the SABC. You know, specific issues around the minutiae of the finances, specific issues around the actual staffing of the SABC, maybe specific issues around particular technologies that the SABC might be choosing. But I think to have somebody that operates in the broadcasting environment and does this research in the broadcasting environment is a major asset to the SABC. Also, obviously, the work that I do goes beyond the SABC, it goes to looking at the entire environment. So I don't see a necessary conflict of interest. I think this is interesting, this question of, you know, being a member of the SRS coalition. Just also an important point to raise to say that I'm not the coordinator of the SRA coalition anymore, and that I thought that I wouldn't play a role on the working group of the SRA coalition, but I would be an ordinary member of the SRA coalition. I would certainly look at the issues that they are raising, and obviously the issues that are raised by a number of different stakeholders. I'm very proud of my history in the SRA coalition. And I would bring that spirit and those views to the SABC board. But I would also obviously consult with a whole lot of other stakeholders that are not necessarily part of the SABC coalition. There is an interesting question around the directors and director conduct and issues of the role of directors. And I think it's very important to say that if you look at the way that the SABC is structured, it isn't direct representation from unions, for instance, or direct representation from civil society. It's basically a collective of people who broadly represent different views, but their first priority is to the SABC itself and must take the interest of the SABC itself first. So I understand my role in terms of that. again, as I say, I think the role of directors is to set the overall strategic vision for the SABC, to appoint the executive directors and then hold them to account in terms of them doing their job. I think what is important is not to get involved in the overall in the day-to-day management of that. I don't think that is in fact a role. There is a very interesting question about the 24-hour news channel. If I had been a member of the board at the time when the 24-hour news channel was launched, which was the beginning of this month, would I have supported that? And I have to say that because it was launched on the CSTV platform, I wouldn't have supported it. I would have said that I actually think what should happen is that the SABC needs to push for the DTC project to start, and that the 24-hour news channel is absolutely critical. I mean, I think the SABC and our public broadcaster must have a 24-hour news channel. But I think that the issue is that it is, it should be one of the DTC channels. And again, I think, a lot of people have said this before. The problem with DSTV is that in fact only DSTV viewers, of course, are growing, but the fact is it's still an elite audience. And I think it's important to have the SABC channels accessible for all. Then there's a very important question around accountability. I mean, what do we mean by accountability? And I think, again, I'm really glad that someone asked me that question, because it can be a bit of a nebulous term. I mean, my understanding of accountability is that there must be a very clear understanding that though the minister is the sole shareholder of the SPC, he or she is there as the sole shareholder, is there as a shareholder, but on behalf of the public. And I think often the problem with the SPC is that it sees accounting to the minister as the first point of call, rather than as a sense of that you must be actually accounting to Parliament and to citizens by Parliament, and there are other ways of bringing citizens in through leadership, committees, etc. So I think what's very important is understanding that it's the public that is in fact the first stakeholder of the SPC. Parliament and accounting to Parliament is unbelievably critical. Yes, the minister is the shareholder, but on behalf of the public. The separation of power issue. I have to an extent answered that question around the the issue of what I think the role of the minister is, which is around policy. I think then you asked the question about has there been ministerial interference in the SABC? And I would say that because it's clear in the Broadcasting Act the issues around the appointments of those three executive positions, yes, the minister has got involved. But I think that going forward, and in terms of the ICT policy review process, I think it needs to be made very clear that, in fact, those non-executive members of, those executive members of the board should be just appointed by the board. And I think a lot of the conflict, a lot of the instability in the SABC has come from those appointments of the COO, CFO, CEO. If that is clarified, I think that is one of the things that will really lead to a lot more stability. I think maybe I should leave it there. If there's obviously further questions and I haven't clarified something, please feel free to ask me some more questions.
You may switch off the mic. And the other one for Honourable Killen must also be off for their recordings and other things. Remember, those were the responses to your questions. Follow up by seeing, or I saw Killen is not at that, in that order.
Chairperson, one issue being the legislative provision. So that the minister appoints the executive group CEO, COO, CFO. I don't seem to find it, and I want to know where it derives from. Did that slip in via the shareholder compact? If we could have clarity around that, because according to the Act, I don't see where that provision exists. Then the second point is just, I'm interested in the next funding model, Would you question, because we have the private component or the commercial component of the MMC and the public component, which is also placing a burden or a responsibility on the MMC to invest in educational programs? Would you, for instance, see that there should be greater funding for that component and that you have some section which is funded through commercial activity and the rest is more of a public broader mandate to fulfill? Thank you.
Yes, Norman. Probably if they can, because you are already starting, I will teach you. Honorable Chair. Yeah, Chair, I want the Honorable Lady to explain further, because she says, she says the funding that she has invested is a big funding model. Now, what I don't understand is that we already have that big funding model. 60% of that, 40% I think is shared by advertising and licenses. So the big funding model is there. And if she's also saying that she'd like to see the government increasing its funding, do you want it to move from 60 to what? 80, 90? But I'm just in a fundamental feeling that it must be mixed funding models. It is already there. It really can give us a ratio that you're not satisfied with and tell us what you'll be satisfied with. And I would definitely prefer if it was working somewhere in the world. If you can say this one works somewhere, like in Maputo, France, somewhere.
Thank you very much, Honorable Roma.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I thank for the responses that you have received. I'm picking up this one from the response of my first question, Chairperson. I've listened to it and much interest when you were talking about the exact advantages, the three advantages that sit in the board. And you just left me halfway because I thought also you're going to talk about the capacity and the role thereof in terms of also, because in some other boards, there's a dotted line. There's a straight line to the board, but also a dotted line to the CEO in terms of relationship thereof. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Those were the hands I had. Okay, that's it. You may respond, but be short.
Okay, so the first thing is this gap that you're talking about in terms of the appointment of the executive director. Where the gap is in the Broadcasting Act. It doesn't actually, it's very clear about how the non-execs are appointed, but it doesn't talk about how the execs are appointed. Where that comes is in the Articles of Association. And so what a lot of people have been saying is that it should just be clarified in the legislation that the non-execs appoint the execs, and if it's clarified in the legislation, once and for all, then that makes sense, and it is good in terms of good corporate governance issues. So then, thank you for the mixed funding model question. Okay, so you asked me a question, so in terms of that mix, you know, what would public funding be used for? And I think the first point is that what you'd want to do is you want to cost the public mandate of the SBC. I think it's absolutely critical to look at what money should we be spending on public broadcasting. Because you can't just suck out of air, it should be 60% public funding. You have to have a sense of, and it must be clearly based in empirical kind of facts, so-called, what if this is what the SBC needs to be doing in terms of the public mandate, what would it cost? And benchmarking against other public broadcasters. I mean, basically, what we have is an 8% funding from advertising, 2% direct from government, and 18% thereabouts from the licensee. My sense is that is a very problematic, because basically what you're saying is the major funding is coming from advertising. So it's actually, it's a commercial broadcaster with a public mandate, and that's a very difficult position to be in. So what I think you have to do first is basically cost that public mandate, and then using the public funding, which would include possibly, you know, direct monetary grants plus a licensee, because that's obviously public funding, needs to be put into specific public programming. And I would say education, I would say, you know, news and current affairs, which is very costly. I think that there's just no way that the SEC can actually do the kind of public work that it needs to do without a certain level of public funding. So yes, thanks for that. And then the issue around the company secretary. I think the role of the company secretary for me is to directly relate to the board and to ensure that the work of the board actually happens as a non-exec. I need to think about a little bit more interesting question. I've thought more about that kind of level of just the non-exec versus exec and kind of clarifying, crystallizing like what their separation or separation of those roles. So thank you for that question. Yeah. But I think as an initial component would be company secretary work with the board and it's applicable to the board. And I think that's precisely what we should be doing with the legislation. It's crystal clarify what are the roles of all of these different players.
Thank you. Those were the last three hands for follow-up. I don't see any other hands. Thanks very much for your responses. Do you pay your city license?
I definitely do.
It's the right thing to do. If you don't, go and make sure that you do. We can have board members who are in area of SLC. As not taken by the bank. Thank you very much for your response to the question from the member. Anything you would like to say before we resume?
I mean, maybe just one last thing, that whoever you choose to be on this board, I think what I'd want to see is that they were really committed to public broadcasting. Not commercial broadcasting, not state broadcasting, but public broadcasting. And that they should have a vision for public broadcasting. Yeah, I think that would be it.
Thank you very much, Yuri. I ask you to say something before you leave. You start other problems. Honorable Brother?
Just one question quickly. Are you a team player? Can you work with people with different views? Does that phone use you? Can you work with it?
Yes, I think through my work in the coalition, I
was very
opposed
to the team. If you will be a board member, you won't open.
Apologies, Chair. I was supposed to work with you. Apologies.
But you can proceed.
Okay, let me start again. Through you, Chair. I think, again, I want to say, this is a critical question. Can you work with people with certain views? Yes, I can, and I think that the role of the public broadcaster is to ensure a variety of different views. And I think that I have demonstrated that I can through working in a coalition, and I have to say again that the views within that coalition were very, very different on financing, on a range of different issues, a lot of also on governance issues. I think that I played quite a good role in terms of finding where the consensus was, and where there was a consensus saying, okay, well, let's leave that, come back to that, but most importantly, trying to really find where a consensus lay. I think there's much more consensus than we think there is, if you give it the time to find it.
We are done, actually. Honorable Ketan, just a last bite, little one. You know, obviously you can see we enjoy talking to you because you seem to be very informative, I must confess. Now, what to say, the one that would like to see our project should be committed to a public broadcasting or not state broadcasting or colleague of broadcasting, we accept it. But do you know how the life we live is the reality out there? Besides that, those type of ideals, that's a very hypothetical thing that you are seeing. Now, what I want to check, where in the world could the country, and I'm depending on you, the very informed mind that you have, could the country where you think they have that ideal protesting system? Because I'd like to go there and visit.
Thank you. You may respond short with other time.
I think that people always use the example of the BBC and Channel 4 in Britain. I think there are also some other examples. I think the Thai public broadcaster actually did some amazing work. I think the Japanese public broadcaster did some very interesting work. I think although it's fallen a little bit at Canadian and Australian public broadcasters, I think there are a lot of public broadcasters around the world that are doing fantastic work and fantastic work in the digital age.
Thank you. Oh, that is easy. Thailand? Japan or Thailand?
Yeah. Thailand, very interesting work. Japan, very powerful public broadcaster. In terms of the European ones, I didn't mention that before, German public broadcaster is very good. The Canadian one is kind of not as powerful as it used to be, but still has a lot of interesting lessons. Australian broadcast has a lot of interesting lessons, and in fact on the digital front, Australia is doing some incredibly interesting work around regulation in the digital age.
You see, you can switch off your mic, thank you very much, but you see, probably. Therefore, SACC, SOS, you must start to fundraise for the committee to visit all your countries so that you go and see these innovations you are talking about. If you are going to work for Parliament, whoever will go might go up that way here to go and see where they are gone at that particular time. But thanks very much for your time. We are running out of schedule. Your patience. To wait until your turn comes, and we also appreciate your acceptance of the nomination to serve in the SSDC. Last thing before you go, I assume that you have read Section 16 of the Broadcasting Act, which is talking about the qualification. And I hope maybe you can confirm that there's nothing in terms of that clause which disqualifies.
Actually, I can confirm that there's nothing that disqualifies me.
Okay, thank you very much. The reason you are doing that, if anything comes for any candidate around us, it's a straight removal. So we don't want to have problems that people need to know. Thank you very much for your time, as I've indicated, all the best. You had your bike, I said, say something, you prompted two questions for us, and I'll stop there. Thank you very much, we are ready for the next country. Go away.
five runs every day on our program. But of course, I can allow new members to take something to drink because we're supposed to break, but we can't. We are fairly late, and our candidate is here. I know that we ask her now because the evening. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Just a little thank, of course.
Let me start by our apologies. You are in the hand schedule. We have to start with the minister in the morning. Can you see you have to attend the sitting of the house when we're needed to go and attend? That also impacted on our time. Our apologies for that. I hope that they didn't dislodge you. In terms of your thinking and so on. But you are most welcome. Now I'm always in trouble about Miss, and I end up saying Madam, because that one seems not to have a lot of problems. I hope I'm correct when I say Miss.
You are correct.
Thank you. But if I forget, I'll say Madam. So when I say that, you must know I forgot. You are most welcome, as I've already indicated. Members of our candidates here, as you can see, our members are still going up and down. It has been a long stretch and it's still going to be long. You are most welcome. I hope they've caught you. Anyway, you have been responding, pressing and switching it off, so they've caught you. You know what to do. Anyway, I don't think for the first time you come to this environment. Members, when they ask you questions, they listen to the minister. Hopefully all of them will ask you so that you know all of them. But then introduce themselves. And when you respond to my first question, which will be linked to your introduction of the first, and also very short, we had 147 people nominated. We had to put aside 110 to have 80%. I'm not sure whether unfortunately or fortunately one we draw, and then we got 86 remaining. My first question will be that, why must you be on the last track? But when you respond to that question, you must respond in that question in relation to your skill, which you had, which you think qualifies you to be in the SACC board. Once you are doing that, you can also do your introduction and the other. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Communications. I'd like to start by quoting, "The best way to predict the future is to invent it. In this case, I believe it's passive. I believe that the task you are doing is crafting a future for our country by putting in place a leadership you believe will take the SABC forward. I want to thank you for this opportunity and to say to you I'm humbly honored to be here today. Chair, I do believe that I deserve to serve our nation in the Committee of 12, the board of the SABC, because the Act 64/2002.4 on members of the board states, the members of the board must, when viewed collectively, be persons who can or who are fitted to serve on the board by virtue of their qualifications, expertise and experience in the fields of broadcasting policy, technology, broadcasting regulation, media law, frequency planning, business practice, and finance, marketing, journalism, entertainment and education, social and labor issues. I do happen to have quite a few of those qualities.
I would like to start with the qualities I believe are strongest. I work as a journalist for the SABC, within the SABC, for plus minus 15 years. Here I played a very pivotal role at the inception of creating an SABC that represents all South Africans. I was honored to be nominated by the first chairperson of the board of the SABC, Dr. Madhuri Kasaburi, at the time, from the floor, to sit in the committee of five to represent staff in the transformation process of the SABC. Working within what was called the Radio RFA, now Channel Africa, one really did a lot of work to gain buy-in within, to gain buy-in within the entire radio section and the entire SAB for us to move forward. I've also had the privilege to work as an international journalist at SABC Africa. I did not only work as a journalist, I worked with my managers, my supervisors, to conceptualize on programs that could move us forward. In fact, at the time, I was not working within the SABC as perhaps you've seen in my curriculum vitae. I was called in as I had experience with syndicating television programs to assist the SABC Africa channel to take off. And then we did do a lot of good work. We did really move the SABC forward into the continent. I also have business acumen, which I think is very critical in the SABC. When we look at some of the challenges that's facing the SABC now, one of them is financial sustenance, and some one of it also being the perception perhaps, the issue of governance. I have run my own company from 1997 to 2018. I am now a GM at the Passenger Rail Agency.
I heard you say you run your own company from 2011 until you run it down. You
Fortunately, I'd be happy to tell you that I didn't run it down. Perhaps let me take you through some of the key projects that I did very quickly. One of my big projects was bringing the entire African Cup of Nations games of 1998 in Burkina Faso to the rest of the continent. And with my journalism background, I was able to bring together about 20 journalists from the rest of the continent, where we gathered stories on a daily basis and syndicated them on print, radio, and TV. And today it would be much more easier with digital networks. It would be so much easier with new media. So with my business background, I would be able to really bring in that kind of acumen. I'm very fortunate also that just yesterday, the Homeowners Association, where we live, Sibanis in Pretoria, have asked me to be on the auditing committee voluntarily, where I want to believe that I learned a lot with regards to financial management. When I look at some of the challenges that I mentioned earlier of the SABC, even being part of it, with my background in marketing, having studied in a very rich field in Italy, studying marketing, coming back, running a marketing communications company, I think that one can bring in a lot of value in how to position the SABC and re-image it. We are all aware of the challenges it has faced. I do believe that it will be critical for us to reposition it. We may talk later about how to do that. I do believe that technocratic power is but one of the challenges of the SABC. We can look into it. I believe in affirmative action. I believe in training and skill development. It is critical, as the Act also that says, that we need to empower those from disadvantaged backgrounds. When you listen to SABC radio stations, when you do watch some of the programs, some of the glitches have nothing to do with the fact that our people are there and willing and want to do better, but simply because they do not have also some of the technical skills that can empower them to enable us to have a smoother broadcast. Financial sustainability. I will circulate the documents I brought with me. These will show to you my passion for broadcasting in this country.
The first one is a document I worked on in the mid-2000s, when I was still with SDDC Africa, where I looked at the challenges we were facing, and so this is how we can better, you know, position the SADC. And I've titled it, having now updated it, Bringing Out the Best of Africa Through SADC International. I'll circulate it so members can have a look at it, read it, and in that way we'll have a sense of where my thinking is. And hopefully, if I am selected, together with the collective of 12, we can sit together with the executive and see how we can better position the SADC. Another one is, I just been made aware that we are on DSTV, and I thought if I did know, it would be so much better for me, so a little more tech. However, I did work on a document about 3 years ago that looks at how we can bring Parliament to people. Yes, I know we are doing that through various platforms, through Twitter, Facebook, and so on, and this particular channel, Amberway. But what I've looked at in the document is how, and that is why I call it Parliament by you. Parliament is away, it's Parliament in our way. Parliament is away. It's Parliament because of you. And I thought it would have...
What do you say, Parliament?
How do you say in Kivenda? Uh-huh. And then if you could assist me, please.
Because when it's hot, I normally just leave it and watch it getting hot until it gets cold. So, and can proceed on the phone.
No, Jesus, and you know, always very nice. But, you know, I was trying to be difficult, I just wanted to clarify. You, in your introductory remarks, you spoke very eloquently about the Act and what type of people we want to appoint to the board. You spoke specifically about the skills, but also the Act talks about the caliber of South African that we want to appoint to the board. It also specifically says about people who are committed to the objectives and the principles of the Charter of the Corporation. Looking at the Charter of the Corporation, I would like you to tell me exactly which objectives and principles are you particularly passionate about. I would also like to know what is your understanding of why the previous board failed, and if you were to be appointed to the board, what you would do or what interventions, critical interventions you think need to be put in place to ensure that we don't go down the same path. You also talked about re-imaging the SABC. I think that's very important. I think public sentiment out there often is very negative towards the public board charter, and so my question is, what, talking about re-imaging the SABC, what do you think needs to be done to ask the board, a public board charter that South Africans can respect, that they can trust, organization that's credible, and also I would like to know how do we go about recapturing lost and viewers and listeners, and I will stop there, thank you.
You see, Honourable Pandarumer, because you are not here, so I won't allow you to cover the areas of the other candidates, but you have done very well. Two or three questions is sufficient. If you are not covered, you will come late. But you have put it to two. But I will see you've asked three. Fine. You are still trying to cover the areas. It's okay. Honourable Shin, just not the questions, we'll respond to it. Honourable Shin.
Thank you. Cindy Young-Arrington. I have a couple of I have some difficulty with your CV, your job search, as you put it here. Because, okay, from 1995 to 1997, you were an anchor producer for Good Morning South Africa. And in 1997 again, you were corporate affairs senior manager for Ford Motors. And in 1997 again, you had your own communication services with a whole list of very impressive clients. And if you don't say that, that company is closed down, I assume it hasn't. If you don't say so, it's just a dead hanging. But then you also then, I assume at the same time, still as an anchor producer for SABC, you're still, well, this year you've become the GM of Corporate Affairs of Prada, and then you were in, at times of overlapping, special advisor to two premiers. Now, you seem to be, so I'm assuming that, are you still then senior manager for corporate affairs for Ford Motors? And are you still managing all these clients? And are you still, well now as well, the corporate manager for Prada? You seem to have an awful lot on your plate. How many people do you employ? You know, I'm not clear if any of these things are still active. Then I would like to know specifically which acts of parliament do you need to become familiar with to do your job as board member? So you have journalistic experience or radio journalistic experience, but what would you bring to the corporate boardroom in terms of knowledge of what it takes to be a board director? And if you did become a board director, which one of these numerous iron that's above the fire here would you give up?
Thank you, Ms. O, Honourable Killen.
Thank you, Chair. One of my questions were actually covered. My name is Julie Killen. I would just like to ask you the following. If we look at your company's profile and your clients, etc., I noticed here that you have, amongst other South African municipalities and AXA, etc., have you done any work for the SABC? And don't you think that some of the work that you will be doing to your company may constitute a conflict of interest once you take a board position in the SABC? Because then obviously your company would be in a difficulty to cannot really engage in any consultation with for the SABC. Have you done that in the past? Do you intend to do that going forward?
Chairperson, if you will allow me, I just wanted to ask Ms. Zinde if she has any understanding or has she perhaps read up some of the complexities that the SABC faced, especially in terms of financial sustainability, and how does she see to correct those going forward? Thank you.
Thank you. Can you please take another question, or you may prefer to respond?
I think perhaps let me respond, but first I'd like to just round the question quickly. Then we'll go to the next round.
Okay.
Honourable Simon Murphy, you asked me about the caliber of people that the board must have. You asked me about the commitment to the charter of the corporation and why previous boards failed. In fact, I put that particular question at the end to ask the committee what it thinks the challenges have been with previous boards, but I will share my own thoughts as well. And I think you're also going to say what needs to be done to recapture lost viewers and listeners. I hope I've captured all your questions and I hope I'll be able to answer all of them. I've actually written some of the points from the Charter of Corporations that I think are critical, if I may read them. The corporation, in pursuit of its objectives in the exercise of its power, must enjoy the freedom of expression and journalistic, creative, and programming independence as enshrined in the Constitution. Let me, it's critical. It is critical, as you will notice from my curriculum detail. Perhaps Honourable Shin and Honourable Keegan will get a sense of why I'm here and there and here and there. I left full-time journalism in 2006 to focus on my company, and I stopped working for my company at the end of April, and I'm now with Tata. For the simple reason that I, as all of us do know, I think things got just a little bit out of hand in 2005 and 2006, and I believe that as the media, as journalists, we ought to be neutral. I believe that we should not undermine the public, that they would know, they would be able to make their own decisions. If we remain neutral, we tell the story, we give all sides of the story, they will make up their own minds. And because I was freelancing, I had intentionally asked not to be full-time so that I can continue to really multitask and utilize the skills that I have, you know, with all the burgeoning, developments in our country, with a background in psychology, getting up in journalism, with the field of marketing. That is why I end up being an advisor to two premiers on communication. And that is why I continue to run my company on the side while I was as a freelance journalist, because I was specifically requested to come in and assist to help SABC Africa in particular to move ahead, which I think in those years we really did a good job, but we know what has happened afterwards. The other part of the Charter of Corporations states that the corporation should encourage the development of South African expression by providing in South African languages a wide range of programming. And the honourable member did mention Chivenda, and so I know that, because that is critical. There is a beautiful quote that I hope will be able to come to my mind right now that goes something like this, which I would believe you know. Language is the base of thought. And because for many years we've used languages foreign to our tongues, it's not been very easy for us to unleash the great power in us. But because we've recognized that, I think we'll move much, much far in really unleashing that power in us as a nation. But also on the same point, it says
in terms of my reflect on African attitudes, opinions, artistic creativity, plurality of views, and advanced national public interest and identity that is informed herein. And for me, very critical, as all of us know, Madiba said to us, in our diversity, we are a strong nation, united in diversity. And I think that's a critical point in the Charter. About previous boards failing, I really would like to also, in my concluding remarks, ask the portfolio committee to advise me, because I know you know better. You are accounting officers, as it were, of communication. But from my view, having worked as a very young journalist in different parts of the SABC, Channel Africa, Radio Metro, Radio South Africa, then SAFM, Morning South Africa, and Lamok, why, so having worked also in a committee of five and sitting at board level under Dr. Master Kasaburi and working very closely with the late Mr. Zwelakhe Sisulu, and just seeing the evolution of the SABC, what I saw, and this I must say is my own view and might be wrong, was that some of the members that were selected into the board may not have had a great idea of what kind of terrain it is, and I use that word intentionally. They may have had the correct skills, the correct qualities, and you know, persona and so on. But let me tell you, as you might know, the SABC is quite a massive place with a number of complexities. And one ought to understand, to a certain extent, if not a great extent, the dynamics that unfold, and to understand this, you know, working on the landmine or not, and how to bring the best in the people within the SABC, so that you can make progress. So I think, for me, the challenge really has been that. What needs to be done to recapture lost viewers and listeners? First is the imaging campaign, to give hope to the people of South Africa. And I believe this is but, in my view, one of the great steps in doing that. I think, for me, this has been one of the most transparent processes. I never saw this. I just received messages from people. We saw this in the news, we heard this, and I was like, because I've been busy 24/7, you know? I didn't know this was being broadcast live. People that sent me messages would laugh when we watch something. Oh my goodness. So this is reinstilling that hope in people that we want to do things right. We want to put a board that will be representative of what we believe will lead the SABC forward in the public interest. Also, I think it's right with programming. I think the launch of SABC International is a great step to showcasing what good we can do. I also think perhaps at this point I should just go through some of the things I thought we could really engage in to bring back that hope and bring back the viewers and the listeners into the SABC. If you don't mind, I just want to go through my notes and see where I wrote those specific points that I prepared. This is my handwriting, honorable members. I know that when I get a little tense, my mind will just, you know. Yes, repositioning and re-imaging campaign for the SABC. I'm right here, ushering in the new board, is to instill a sense of confidence. I also mentioned the 24-hour news channel. I also think that it's so critical that we show off this digital studio that we have. There is so much that can be done. For example, imagine that most of our journalists were using the high-tech gadgets that we have. When you watch Sky News, you actually see how it captures you. I think gone are the days of sitting behind the desk and presenting. Part of it can be done like that. But creating excitement, holding a remote control, and switching on, and alas, you know, we are perhaps in Burundi, and alas, telling a story of how South Africa in the early 2000s had local peace there.
we're talking about tourism, then we're talking about how the country is going, we're talking about how as a neighbor in our region that helps interface and so on and so forth. But we do it in a very creative way. We use the technology that is there, we use the knowledge that we have as journalists, you know, just bring back that kind of excitement to watch television. I think these are some of the things that can really help us. We're moving into Heritage Month. As South Africans, I think we tend to look within more negatively than positively. I think, to me, we are a great nation in the making. I really believe that. Only if we can shift the focus from the negative to the positive. Without shoving the negatives under the carpet, yes. I mentioned Sky News because I believe it was the channel that when they broadcast a negative story, it's got a sociological perspective, it's got a humane perspective to it, and we can identify with it. I think we need to work around that and train our people more in how to do that. New media, you know, we're already there, we are doing it. I was talking Heritage Month. Why don't we look at the past 19 years, what we have achieved, where we come from as a nation. We've had many great occasions in this country. We are the people to whom Madiba belongs. And I believe that as a people we should carry that, we should show that. And a public broadcaster should, in my view, really go deeper into showing all those positives. A great deal of positives have been done, but I think we can do much, much more. I think that's how we can really bring back those lost viewers and listeners. To Honorable Shirin, my CV can be a bit, looks a bit complicated, but it's very simple. Let me explain that to you. In 1997, April, some of us may remember that Good Morning South Africa was brought to a close. Then I worked with Dorian Berry, David Holgrave, a great team of people. Things were moving, we needed to move to the next level. At the time, I found myself headhunted by a number of companies. And I got excited. I joined Ford Motors. At the time, it was known as Samco. And that was from May to precisely September. So I went there for that period. And I went for that brief period because I think the winds of change had not yet really caught up with the company. We've seen a lot of talk about window dressing, putting a black in order to look like you're changing when you're actually not. I felt exactly like that. I had a great salary package. I had two cars. Did I need them? But I didn't really get involved in the governance and really development of the company and how the company should move forward. I was very disillusioned, I was very unhappy, and I decided to leave. And then I started my company. And my first project was the African Cup of Nations in 1998 in Burkina Faso that I spoke about earlier. So I was with my company, but the SABC again called me. You might remember the program called Le Bonnet Men on the Move. They were having, at the time, challenges with AR figures, and then we really worked on it and it improved a great deal. It was one of the greatest shows that really talked to gender equity issues and highlighting what women can do in our country. So I worked on that until late 2000 when I was asked to come and help FABC Africa. And I said to them, this is where I am. I would like to stay there and freelance and help move the corporation forward. However, at the time also, I then started advising the premier.
Thomas, what am I doing to help you? Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time without the other member asking you questions. When it comes to your CV, just to be short, from this year to this year, you were here from this year to this year, so that you move quicker, so that you got the benefit of all the members asking questions. Otherwise, they might not be able to ask.
Thank you, Chair. I will be brief. I hope that helps.
that in 2006 that I explained earlier, that on my company, but now my company is just...
So that whatever decision you take,
in terms of appointing me on here. But this note seems to delay us. Well, if a member asks a question, the candidate will take out the note, must wait, page by page, see what you want, go through. Sometimes I even get lost. I'm not sure whether it's wrong or right here. But if it's allowed to do so, of which we did not give other candidates that opportunity to open their notes, I wonder if it's there or not. But if it's allowed, it's okay. But maybe the candidate should minimize the time she's listening when listening to the note.
Okay. Honorable Tilen, let me talk about notes.
All I wanted to say was I don't really have a problem with it. Sometimes you actually just want to make, to jot down some ideas in your head. And I think it is an intimidating environment. So I don't really have a problem with that. And I don't think we should limit candidates. And I wanted to refer to that. But I do want to suggest that we have more succinct responses to the question, if it's possible. If we could have that, that would help us, because we still have to also interview a next candidate. So if the candidate can just understand that that is the position, Jefferson, I don't really have a problem, and I don't think we should ignore that. I think it's fair, because it is a conflict environment to respond to questions. Thank you.
No, thank you. Probably that's where the initial time comes in. If the candidates keep on referring to notes, the time goes, and then not all of you are the candidates, you then don't know the candidate. That's probably the issue here is that, as I've already asked, that please just be straight to the point, so that we are able to give the other members some time to ask. I can see two hands, and Tandy, hold on.
Thank you, sir. I think you need to assist that work in terms of time now, because like all the workers are saying, because my experience with this type of referring to notes, you never finish on time. So I think you need to let us also to say how many minutes of this case. Because that's the data I did.
No. It's okay. Honorable Gordon, I'll give you the time, Honorable Gordon.
That's Jefferson. I think people shouldn't make a mistake of what they are saying. We are not trying to restrict anyone on just making a drink of the water. But it is different if you are going to read the whole presentation, make a presentation of what you are creating, detail by state, and Honorable Kigen spoke about intimidation. This is how maybe the way we are allowing candidates, actually this is the first time that I've seen this. We know that people should have their notes, and we know people will always drink from their notes, and go on just like that. We are not going to intimidate people. But this is odd. We have never had such a situation whereby we are going to have people reading through their notes and even pause for some time and
I
think it's just on. The former. I want to start by apologizing in interrupting Ms. Linda, but also I agree with my colleague's chair. As a matter of principle and consistency, my appeal to you, chair, because you have rescued us from this one, because all of us are so incoming, the way it started. Yeah? For me, then, I would say I would request you to give us an injury time so that you ask questions, so that we fair when you ask the performance in the interview, although we have a fair, balanced understanding, and I'm sure once you respond, that you'll try to be spot on the question asked. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. Let's try to do that. And my request will be that. Please just go straight to the point. I will give you the opportunity to ask the question, to be fair to you, so that you have that opportunity. Probably my request, we don't want to intimidate you, we don't want to harass you, we want to respond to the question. And probably we are taking more time not responding directly to the question. So probably that's the response directly so that we're able to move quick. But I will, from now on, I'll stop you when you go out of the
question. Okay, the last answer for Honorable Shin is the Broadcasting Act 64/2002. Honorable Killian, you asked me, have you done any work for the SHC in the past through my business? No, I have not done work for the SABC. I brought business into the SABC. Very quickly, during the run-up to the World Cup, I did marketing communications for Airports Company South Africa, where we bought airtime at the SABC to broadcast what we were doing. Any understanding of financial sustainability, I'm going to learn. But as a GM, I deal with a very big budget, and I'm managing it very constantly. Thank you, and let me apologize to the honourable members for wasting time, and I will not look at them up anymore.
Thank you very much, the mic. Honourable Trevor, but on my behalf was the chairman, Tandy, and... okay, you can come.
No, sir. I just want to say to the candidates, we are not saying you must not refer to yourself. Like Honourable Killian has mentioned, it is your right, he has to respect. But we are just saying, try to manage time. Because it's also a disadvantage on your part. We won't have enough time to engage with you. You can refer, there's nothing wrong, it's normal. The problem is when you go through the same sometimes you have to pause. Then it takes a lot of your time. Like the chairperson is saying, at the same time, we are protecting you, it's not only about us. With us, it's okay. We are not interested to be members on the SABC board. We can easily talk, then 1 hour is gone. Then you have no chance of engaging. How will we address you for our appointment? That was my main one when I was saying to the chair, this big note, but not that we have to respect your note, we have to the chair.
Thank you. Your mind? Ms. Foman can be saying, you are next, and Moroto will be the last.
No, thank you, Chair. May I now give the opportunity to thank you for taking time and the way you have prepared yourself to come to the interview. My name is Maina Lesoman, and I'm from committee. Chairperson, through you, allow me to ask these only two questions. Ms. Rinder, in your own understanding, what is the role of the board vis-à-vis the executive director? And most importantly, what is the function, the responsibilities of the group chief executive officer? As editor-in-chief, that was the functions of the head of the radio, television, sports, education, and the news. In your own view, Ms. Rinder, do you think that the GCO's and editor-in-chief roles should be separated or they should remain as they are, the status quo as it may. So what is like when you respond to support either of the yes or no? Secondly, Chair, Section 605 of the Broadcasting Act requires the role of the SABC in particular to develop a range of policy through a process of public consultation, which among other things include the youth policy, programming policy, local college policy, education policy, and the like. However, the Act doesn't specify very clearly how is the council going to monitor the compliance and the implementation thereof at the extent now. In your own view, Ms. Linden, what should be the relationship between the SABC board and the regulator and the shareholder? I'm adding now the shareholder deliberately to make it one person. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Honorable Roman Tandy.
Thank you, Chair. Being a former employee of the SABC board, I believe you understand the role, performance, and corporate governance now around the SABC.
If you check the 21st, 2015 annual report of the FABC, the positive report didn't present a very positive picture. What are you going to do differently in order to ensure that the FABC does comply with all legislation? I'm also linking it with the Kingdom, I will be aware that corporate governance. Can you also address us on the issue of ethical leadership and corporate citizenship? Maybe an emphasis on the role of the board and directors, also issues around governing stakeholder relationships. Because if you read Kingdom, it has dedicated a whole chapter, a higher chapter of it, to board and to board and directors. And it highlights the pivotal role directors and committees of the board must do in achieving good governance. Second question. Yes,
next
question. Is your mic
talking?
Section 36 of the Company Act, Regulating Three of Us. It gives provision for standards of director conduct, how board members must be. Can you also highlight to us your understanding, especially when it deals with the fiduciary duty of directors of companies? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Shekhar Sharma. Most of my questions have been asked, and in fact, the one that I'm going to put to you has also been asked in a different way by the previous two speakers. You, in your responses, it's evident that you've got great knowledge about sort of day-to-day running of particular fields within the SABC. And I would like to suggest that if you were perhaps being interviewed for a management executive position, you would probably have done very well. However, this is where the question related to the other two speakers come. There's a difference between the executive and the SABC. You also don't appear to have too much, notwithstanding the work that you've done, too much experience at board level. So, can you tell us, and you can link the answer to the other two questions, because it's really about the difference, because as a board member, you won't be involved in the day-to-day running of the SABC. And that is what you expounded quite eloquently on in your answer. So could you concentrate your answer to my question, which linked the other two, in terms of your role as a board member and what you see your responsibility would be if you were to be appointed as one of the board members? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Rodman.
I don't know how to speak. She knows that you want to ask a question and then she will jump. You know, the issue of it came across my mind what we discovered when we were doing the project review, exactly what you said. And my question would have been, the subcommittees that she thinks would be more efficient with the auditing, because the questions that we posed and the picture was not very good, as we can say. The internal audit committee seemed to have not done very well then. I wanted to ask her if she can briefly tell us what would be the responsibility of that internal audit committee prior to the auditing of the auditor general, so that we can improve the SABC report. And the second one, number two,
The second one is that from what Miss Linda said, I can see that she has worked with prominent people like the late minister. Now, there's something that I would like to ask her. She is telling us that the late minister recommended that she sit on the board. I don't know whether I've heard it yet. These are maybe the interventions that are causing problems right now. What do you think the shareholders' power should end when it comes to the board of the boards that are nominated by the stakeholders? I haven't listened to what you were saying. Maybe it was good at that time, but we would like to know how do you think we should deal with this issue? Because already it has been coming up to an extent where the minister is involved in appointing the three, the CEO and all other functions. We want to know exactly what you think would be the best approach. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Fellow.
Thank you, Chair. In simple terms, Madam Zinke, what do you think needs to be done in the short term and the long term as a solution to the challenges at the SABC? In Honourable Kiden Lamish, turning around strategy for the SABC. The last one, Chair, and that I can see through the investigation we have a full experience around journalism. And you are also saying you are managing a very big company, a company since 2007. And the current SABC 3 channel has witnessed a decline in audience and revenue. What can you do to turn this around? By any chance,
you are
appointed as a member of the board.
How would you assist to change the situation? Thank you very much, Honourable Chairman. How do you think SABC should be resolved in view of enabling it to be a true public, to render a true public service, and also retain its autonomy, but also have finances such that they create an enabling environment for it. Maybe now that you've quoted other countries, you can say in particular countries is now into the finance from Canada, and I think it is working well.
Thank you very much. Those are the questions which you must respond to. I must remind you again, just in reference to the point, to the question. Over to you.
The first question, what will I do to enhance ethical leadership and the role of the board of directors and the committees? The Act does state that the board must oversee all fiduciary duties of the company. It must also ensure that the company has, through the executive, being the CFO, the CEO, and the COO, appointed independent companies that will assist it in ensuring that its finances and its books are properly done throughout. It has also stated that it must report to the minister constantly. There is also a committee that must be set up, I think it is the Internal Auditing Committee, that would oversee constantly how the company is performing financially, but also looking at bringing in human capital and human resources to move the company forward. Honorable Stein talks about the management of the executive positions, experience at board level, a role as a board member. Yes, I do not have extensive experience as a board member, but I have worked alongside Professor Wiseman Nkosu, Dr. Elijah Bidian at Pan African Capital Holdings as a board member with them. I have been learning. My experience is mainly in the areas that I have indicated before. However, as also said earlier, I think the board does need that kind of strength in order to advise accordingly to management to be able to move the SABC forward. I think Honorable Murunga spoke about, I think it's the internal audit committee and the responsibility of the internal audit committee and the issue of ministers involving themselves in the business of the corporation. Honorable Murutwa, yes, I do not have finance or even legal background, but having worked at Pan African Capital Holdings as a board member and also coming to work for the River Lakes HOA auditing committee, I will learn a lot. But managing the budget that I do at PASA right now and on a constant basis, working very closely with the SEM, with the Chief Financial Officer, and managing the processes accordingly, that is helping us to ensure that in terms of our audits, we are doing much better. And I think that a strength, albeit small, that one can bring into the company. Transparency is very critical. Making sure that processes are followed is very critical. Bringing in skilled people in the area of auditing and accounting and finance to assist us is very critical. The late Minister, Masipi Kasaburu, did not appoint me to the board. She nominated me in a staff meeting in 1992-93, I think it was, when we were establishing a committee to transform the LABC. Those were the beginnings of moving the LABC forward. And being a young professional, I think some people saw zest in me and wanted me to be part of this committee that reported the board to say in each of the divisions, this is what we are doing to bring about the change we want to see, the representativity across the nation that we want reflected in the SABC. With regard to how ministers should involve themselves or should not involve themselves in the day-to-day running of the SABC. I think it is important that the minister does focus on the areas of work that he or she needs to focus on. As the person that the board needs to report to on what is happening at the SABC and ultimately to report to the portfolio committee. However, in terms of appointing CEOs or chief executives, I personally do not think the minister should be involved there because I think that the process that the SABC and the board should decide on, but they should report to the minister, like they should report to the portfolio committee. Advice can be sought, I believe. And I think Honorable Kekana said what needs to be done in the short term and in the long term to turn around the SABC, in particular talking about SABC 3, stating that the channel has seen a decline in the revenue strategy. From where I sit, we have had the opening up of the airways. We've got channels that are now competing very fiercely with SABC 3. As you know, SABC 3 does target your English-speaking higher accent.
That's to say, I'm not meant by the camera. I'm honorable to say.
Got it wrong, sorry. The SABC3 have competitors in the field of broadcasting like it had never had before, from ETV to the many channels that we are seeing on DSTV. And as a result, the market easily chooses where it goes, and therefore there's a need to improve on programming content that will attract more viewers, and a business model from sponsorship to advertising that will help enhance the revenue of SABC3. I believe that would assist a lot. How should the SABC be resourced to be a true public service while retaining its autonomy with an enabling environment, and that I could mention an international channel that we could learn from? The SABC ought to retain its independence. That's very critical. It ought to represent the people of South Africa's voices. But at the same time, it has to account to Parliament, so that especially in the next few years, while the new board does its work, all the challenges we have seen are gotten rid of. I mentioned Sky News earlier because their business model is such that it's an unflinchingly British channel, but they've got a very strong business model that enables them to bring in as much revenue, and that ensures sustainability. And I think that's an area the SABC can look into. It is stated in the Act that the public broadcaster can seek through sponsorships, donations and so on, revenue in order to make it more sustainable. But how impacted is that, in my view, is very critical, so that it is also not found wanting. I think that those are all questions I had at this point.
Thank you very much for the response to the question. Excellent, we will follow up. So unless you got a serious follow up, otherwise that will conclude our honorable term. Not to conclude our honorable term, just that I have to stop and you can come. We're not concluding. Okay. You can follow up.
Yes, the issue is that all my questions were not responded to. She, after addressing another group of my questions, she went to number one question. Also said, if you said on the acceptance of nomination, then if the return on the letter is returned, hope to be made communicated. So I wanted also to say this. Let's enterprise, let's return to one conflict with that possibility if she's aware that the system has accepted the community with the data. I'd like also to say all of my questions are correct governance and of the world.
Which one? Is the one of the companies exclusive to the president?
And then I wanted her to take us through the key. In particular, if I was raising liability, the answer to liability, that's why I can't tell you the question. That's the role of the answer to problems of the different.
Can you go back to the question of time, but in short, and also dividends of them also difficult in relation to, I'm sure it's the same thing the last candidate. The difficult in terms of what you do now and your own SABC board.
Okay, I didn't quite get the last question with regard to the letterhead. But
let me just help you. In relation, it would seem that you do work also in the space of SABC. Would that not cause conflict of interest with the
okay. Honorable Tambi, if I have your questions correctly, let me go through them again. I may not have written them properly. Rule
the audit report, rules of performance, what will I do? That's what I wrote. Because I was listening to you and taking notes very quickly. And you talk about ethical leadership, the role of board directors and committees. And I think they, I alluded to the internal auditing committee because I thought your question was also linked a little bit to what Honorable Morusa said. Fiduciary duties, yes, as well. I thought I crystallized that into auditing and accounting practices. But I think I was very brief. And perhaps I did not mention also, you mentioned the King report. But first let me start with the letterhead. The letterhead is there, it's personal. Yes, I work for Prada now, but I used it because I just thought that to use an empty paper, it doesn't look as professional as you put it on something. And I didn't think I could use a letterhead from Prada. That's the reason why. But I do not work for my company now. I work for Prada. And if I am selected to be in the board, there definitely shall not be any conflict of interest. Because there are rules and regulations that guide how board members can and should behave, from the declaration of business interests and so on, that one would definitely follow. The first question, which relates to what will I do to ensure ethical leadership, if I got it correctly, that again has to do with ensuring that one does declare, one in engaging their leadership work is fair and goes by the rules. ICASA has very clear rules and regulations of broadcasting. There are policies within the SABC, there are policies as stated by the Act that one will definitely have to follow. I did indicate earlier, Honorable Mutambi, that I do not have strengths in finance and accounting and so on. My strengths lie in programming and journalism. And that is a strength I will most certainly bring into the SABC. Yes, I do have business experience. Yes, as a GM for PASA, I do manage a budget. And there are processes that one must follow in order to make sure that our books are clean. I'm not sure if that was also your question about how we will ensure that we have clean audits. It's just come back to my mind now. I didn't state it here. Honorable Murusa, okay. How to ensure that we have clean audits is that constantly one must follow processes. In a big company like the SABC, what we are doing now, for example, is ensuring that each and every project that comes through does through the right processes. And we do not do things that we are going to be found wanting on. Managing budgets, looking. There are impromptu requests that we must look into, but we have to motivate and indicate that it is of national interest. But we do follow processes. And I think if that is done, that can minimize or even eliminate eventually the negative reports that we saw come out from the AG's office.
Thank you very much. I think what is not responded at is very minimal. It won't make any change. It's so minimal what is not responded at. Give me 1 hour. I'll be exact. I gave you 1 hour, 17 minutes. That's the time we took. Started 7:15, now it's 2 minutes past 8. Probably, members, do you still have any follow-up on your question? If no, I must just thank you. Firstly, to agree to be nominated. And also to come for the interview. I see Honorable Killen, please switch off your mic. I see Honorable Killen is raising her hand. Honorable Killen,
I just wanted to say we have hope on that side and we have faith on this side.
Yeah, it does work sometimes like that, faith and hope, okay. Yeah. But probably before we visit you, from where you are, if you have something to say before we visit you.
In conclusion, honorable members, I wrote a quotation that I'd like to read, if you will.
And you also owe us a document that you say you see that.
Oh yes, I've got two documents I'd like to circulate that if you read, you'll get a sense of how I would contribute in terms of concepts. But in conclusion, innovation has nothing to do with how many rands and dollars we have. When Apple came up with the Mac, IBM was spending at least 100 times more on rands and dollars. It is about the people you have, how you lead them, and how you get the business. Thank you, honorable members.
Thank you very much. Again, we are grateful for acceptance of the nomination and also to pass the interview. All the pitches which we had just don't worry about. It's not what is going to formulate our final opinion. On your performance. Thank you very much. Enjoy the evening further, and we still have one to go for the day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members, we've got one candidate to name. Yes. Now, there is a issue of Gina and the candidate. Can we release the candidate and then pray? Okay. Let's try to do that. Bobo. Mr. Mali. Let's pray the candidate. Members, let's start. Welcome, Mr. Serovin. Serovin. Okay. Let us start by apologizing to you off your mind. I apologize. I welcome most of you every day. It's my turn today. We must apologize for the late starting. We are running behind the schedule as we anticipated. We thought so. We had a minister here, which took a bit long, and we had to attend at one point and go and attend the house, the business, and come back again to continue. However, you are here. I hope you are still in a good frame of mind for the interview. I'm Kumudu El Koran, chairing the this session. Honorable members, as they ask two questions, they are going to introduce themselves to spend time. In your introduction, you must also respond to my question. Why do you think you should be in the last 12, which is required to be in the SSCC board? I'm asking that in relation to the key on what you are going to bring into the board. I assume you are aware that we should be 37, but 1 week through, now we've got only 30. You can respond to my question and also introduce yourself.
Good evening, honorable members. That's
for them, just for them to finish first so that they can hear you. Won't hear you now. Just if it's something else. When they are ready, you can start.
My name is Lazarus Serobe. I come from Johannesburg. Born and raised in Johannesburg. I am a lawyer by training, but have been in corporate business for the last 20 years. I have served as a CEO of various companies, as well as a legal advisor, corporate legal advisor for a listed company. And in that introduction, I hope will answer the question posed about the skills that I possess, experience in corporate, which I think is extensive. I have specialized in intellectual property law, and have spent most of my time in the content and entertainment business in the corporate sector. First, as I said, the legal advisor for CNA Gallo back in the 80s, then as CEO of Sony South Africa, and lastly as CEO of Warner Gallo Africa. I have, in the past 3 years, ventured into entrepreneurship and started a content aggregation and delivery enterprise for both music and television. Servicing a broad range of customers, from broadcasters to mobile network operators.
Thank you very much for the nice, straight to the point response. That will help if you keep on doing stuff like that. Remember your question, Honorable Stephanie. Honorable Shi, Honorable Palerme, Verdi Soma, Kilen Stein, Mutambi, in that order, Honorable Peter.
Mr. Sorobe, the SABC has had a difficult time for the past few years in terms of its board. Are you familiar with those problems? And right away, how do you feel the need to be addressed?
You can note the question, so that we can take a few of them. Next, Arbushi.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Sorobe, my name is Marion Shim. I wanted to know, in your opinion, how you believe the SABC has respected the creative rights of musicians and other artists, and if there's any kind of administrative or legal action or policy guidelines that you will develop should you become a member of the SABC board to address any of those issues that you may have. And secondly, what legislation affecting how the SABC is managed and overseen at this stage do you believe needs to be corrected? Can you tell us which acts and which particular issues perhaps within those laws and you think are causing kind of problems at the SABC? Thank you.
If I can just clarify that, causing problems for the Kashyapa. If I see a board of SABC, you will come to the committee to account that you can speak to me. You can ask the challenge to the member of the SABC. Thank you. Apologies for that. Just the clarification I was speaking is on the legislation. That it is a question that which legislation is causing problems for the SABC or for the artists and content.
Okay. Kilian?
Okay.
Just a clarification on my question. Yes, I saw you nodding your head. I thought you were agreeing with me.
No, no.
Okay, that's my question.
Thank you. Now, the SABC is governed by numerous acts, and some of these are in conflict. I wanted to know if you know which of those acts are in conflict with each other, or which regulations are in conflict with the smooth running of the SABC, and what legislative changes should be made to those acts.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Tegan, or Pandermeza.
Thank you very much and good evening and welcome to Parliament. I'm Liesl Samarva. I'm here. just quickly, I wanted to ask you the Act, the Broadcasting Act, that guides us when appointing people to the board. Particularly it speaks about the caliber of an applicant that we want to appoint to the board. But it also talks about the specific that the person or the people that we appoint, the persons are committed to the objectives and principles as articulated in the Charter of Association or the Charter of the Corporation, that being the SABC. So I would really like to hear from you which objectives and principles in that charter do you specifically feel passionate about, if you can just tell me that. Also, what is your understanding of why the previous boards failed and then what interventions need to be put in place to ensure that we don't see that same situation happening again? And finally, do you think there's a need to rebrand or re-image the SABC? And if so, if you would be appointed to the board, how would you champion such a process? How do we go about ensuring that we recapture lost viewers and listeners?
Thank you, Honourable.